Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! 1-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep playing on 2-1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Number 58 from San Jose State, out of Mill Penis High School, Kim Boatkeeper.
Are you glad you got that out of the way? Joining us is Kim Boatkeeper. And Bo, thanks for coming on here, a special edition of Football Friday. And by the way, thank you for pushing me to get that colonoscopy done, brother. I appreciate it. I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't even thinking about it, man. And you started, and you had a good story of your own. I was like, he's right, man. I went home and started thinking about it. So thank you. I got it.
Well, I wasn't worried about you going in and having it done. I was worried about you the night before for the that process.
Oh, Lord.
That's not a fun thing there.
Lost a lot of weight, but that was the only good thing to come out of it. Hey, Bo, so we got a lot to talk about. Listen, man, yeah. I know it's a broken record, and Woody's rolling his eyes getting ready to blast me again. They got four or five offensive linemen out. They got their starting tackles out, who are both high first-round picks and really good players, and Slater and all. If there's ever a game that your defensive line was going to get this thing figured out, it's when everybody on that O-line is basically banged up or out of this game. Do they make changes besides the arm tackling I heard about yesterday from Anthony Weaver? Could you see some small changes going into this game or something else they can do?
Yeah, I think so. But look, Joe, we went into Carolina. Oh, they got the backup running back. And
right.
I think one of their guards was hurt.
Yes.
And look what happened to us.
Yeah.
You know, I remember playing – and playing a game where there was a bunch of guys out. And so, you know, and look, you do everything that you're doing normally during the week, but kind of going, these guys. And then all of a sudden we're down by 10 or something. You go, oh my God, what happened? You know? And so I tend to try to stay away from that. Although it's human nature. Oh, look, half their guys are out and this and that or whatever. And they got this problem or that problem. But look, So if you're the Chargers, you're looking at the Dolphins.
Yes.
And saying same thing, right?
Yes.
Oh, they got a bunch of guys out. They got a bunch of rookies playing. None of them are playing really well. You know, this and that. And so, I don't know. I think where we're at right now, you can't really take your belt, tighten it up, and say, hey, we're going to win this one. You know what I mean? But you talk about the defense. I think I'm not going to say it's a simple solution to the defense, but I think part of it is, and we're reading hearing what Anthony Weaver said and kind of got thrown under the bus by the coach, you know, and that I'd like to have been in a room for that conversation. But you know, to simplify it, I would say everybody just do your own job.
Yeah.
Right. Don't be, you know, so he talked about, they talked about the front, the defensive line, which they only play two or three guys. And they tried some four man line. They're kind of moving things around there, but you know, the defensive lines, the first thing they got to do is be able to keep people off their linebackers. They've got to keep them on the line of scrimmage and stay in their positions and not let them get to the second level. Cause they get to the second level and they miss, then that third level is just, you know, just pick and choose where you want to go.
Right.
And the other thing too is, look, you know, for 3 weeks they had no turnovers. And so over the last couple of weeks, the emphasis was on turning the ball over. Well, you know, there's two ways to turn the ball over. And the way that, I mean, I'm talking about from a, not from an interception standpoint, but from a fumble standpoint.
Yeah.
First guy stands the guy up and then the rest of the guys try to punch the ball out. And I think they're getting it. And it looked, that's what Anthony Weaver talked about. Guys were just trying to punch the ball out. And while they're punching the ball out,
guys are running.
You know, look, I've seen this. We've seen this time and time again, Joe. Guy gets some wraps him on, he's punching the ball out. Meanwhile, the guy's still running 10 yards down the the field, right?
Yes.
So I think you've got to be smart. You got to be smarter at that. You know, it was always, you know, hey, first guy holds him up, and then here comes the cavalry trying to punch the ball out. So got to be a little bit of that. And I don't know what you do about the defensive linemen. You know, Jordan Phillips, in the first couple games, we were going, oh, he's playing pretty well. Kenneth Grant is not played well at all. In fact, I mean, he got pushed around. In the last couple of games, he got pushed around pretty well by the offensive line. So he's got to find a way to be more stout. But you got nowhere to go, Joe. You those are the guys you put in. You know, and the same thing on the offensive side with Savaya Naya. He's struggling out there. But it's much like I always go back to the Patrick Paul thing. If he wouldn't have those 350 snaps he had last year, we wouldn't see we may not be seeing the way he's playing now, you know, in that same. So it's kind of like these guys got to go through it and figure it out. And as they're figuring out, you've got a bunch of rookies out there. They're trying to figure it out. And it's a tough proposition.
Yeah, because I don't think any of us and maybe shame on us, Bo, but we kind of looked at this young class and goes, man, we're going to have a lot of them really help us, yep, and we're going to be really good. And we didn't know their rankings were going to be almost dead last in the league for their positions in some cases. I just worry about confidence, Bo. They have confidence, I'm good to go. But if it's like, oh, damn, it just happened again. Yep. Oh, here we go again. Yep. And they put their head down. Not that you got much to do. I mean, you got Benito Jones and Matthew Butler. We're rotating everybody as it is. So,
yeah.
It's a tough situation.
So Joe, this you know, the other thing too is this, you know, you let's go back to training camp, right? Let's go back to preseason games. So we go in first preseason game. I don't think Kenneth Grant played much after that first preseason. You know, we've seen enough of him. Well, no, you didn't. You know, and so those rookies that you're throwing in there. And all of a sudden, and you know, for what the only valuable practices they had from rookies, from being to where you want to get them, is were the joint practices with the Bears and the Lions, and then three preseason games, and a couple of them didn't play a lot in a couple of those games. So now you come into week one, and it's all go all the time, and these guys they're not prepared for it. You know, it's just so. It's going to be a learning thing, and they can't. What are they going to do? Sit all those guys down?
No,
they can't do that.
This is all you have, man. The drop off for everybody wants you to go out and find something else. It's just, not there.
But so to your point from confidence, you know what happens if the Chargers come in here?
Oh man,
you return you get the ball first. Your offense goes nowhere. Chargers go right down the field and score. And then you get the same thing. And next thing you know, you're down 14-0. You know, then what happens? And look, I'm not saying that's going to be the case, but it certainly could be from what we've seen over the course of this season. Then that confidence starts to waver, right? Not only with the guys that are having trouble, but the guys that are trying to do their job and help those guys, you know, they're in a bind. So, yeah, it's –
Hey, Bo, I got to bring this one up. Tua talks, and at some point talks about team, and he says all the right things, but then somehow he goes, I go home, I'm fine, I don't pay attention to what anybody says. He gets in the family and the kids, and it just – sometimes, Bo, I feel like our fan base, you for sure, I just heard you – you got to tell me what you're feeling just to this whole thing about after games. You want to know those guys really, really friggin' care. I get they get their money no matter what and stuff.
Yeah.
He just says things sometimes that just I don't really want to hear my quarterback saying. I think Woody's on to something. What's your take?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm usually not in the interview room when Tua talks or Mike talks, and just circumstances last week, I was just because they came in really quickly. And so I was in there. And so I'm listening to a talk and it was just kind of, just not the words he was saying, just his body language in this. It's just like, you know, here's what I would want to see my quarterback come in there and feel hurt and know that he's hurting. And know that he's disappointed. I mean, he came in like a college professor and look, he answered the questions and blah, blah, blah. And he was, you know, okay. But, you know, it seemed like just matter of fact, like where's your heart at? Where's your heart? You got beat in one of the worst games you could possibly see. And it's kind of like, okay, just another day, you know, you want to see, you know, and look, maybe that's him trying because, look, the guy has been polarizing since he was in college and coming out of college, and
that's
and
true.
He's certainly been raked over the coals here in South Florida, and so maybe that's his way just to deal with it and get through it.
Yeah, maybe look, you're right. Everybody's different.
But look, it doesn't. I don't think it plays well with. Certainly doesn't play well with me. I don't think it plays well with you, and I think most of the fans are going. Was this guy is this guy emotionally involved or concerned about it? It just seems like it's just another day, you know?
Well, I don't want to hear about potato chips on the couch, and I don't want to hear about you can't play this position, which we all know, obviously, you and I can't play that position.
Well, look, this, and I think he said this twice, you know, why don't you come up and see how you would do or something to that. You know, so some guy sitting, you know, like Hollywood, sitting in the sofa with a bucket of ice cream and potato chips and stuff, and saying, "Hey, why don't you come in here and try this?" You know what I mean?
Well, the fact that Woody would have to get away from that ice cream and potato chips would piss him off to start with.
Which will never happen.
He doesn't want.
By the way, I think Woody told me that you owe him a dinner at Catching
Cup. I do. He tried to way to bring it up, Bo. I do. Hey, Woody, he brought it up. You know how many times Woody, he brought it up Monday?
Woody, let me just give you a heads up. Next week is the snow trap season. It's opening up on the 17th or something. And we're going to bring out the Colossos right off the bat. You might want to choose that day for. Tell Joe to go to the bank and let's go to the restaurant.
Hey, you know what? I do owe him, and I actually because last time we did, I lost a bet. We went to Joe's, and so I am going to go up there and I'm going to enjoy him myself. But he trying to bring the family and the wife and stuff. I go, no, your wife ain't going to this. She got to stay home and take care of the kids. This is you. Don't be bringing Vladdy and all the other guys who are drinking doubles on me there on the party. So, yeah, Bo, man, I was just, trying to figure out 14 carries, 19 yards. That can't ever happen again. I don't care who we're playing. You agree?
No.
We got to be able to run it on the other side, too. And I know we got some guys that are having problems like most teams right now.
Yeah, but look. Wasn't that going in? Wasn't that the thought? Like, just run the football. You run the football well. Run the football. You know, you lost Tyreek. Pound that running game. And, boy, I you know, it's And I don't know what happened, Joe. I really don't know what happened. You know, I think Savai and I had a bad game. And I think Paul probably didn't have the type of game that he's used to have. And let's not forget, you got a right side where those two guys, and I don't know, you know, Daniels and Austin Jackson, you know, when are these guys going to stand up and play football, Joe?
I don't know.
Daniels plays three plays for the season. Jackson plays about a half of a game. And here we are coming into, what week are we into now? Seven or what week? Six.
Yeah, six games.
Week six. And they're available to come off. And Mike, well, you know, they're not ready in maybe another couple of weeks. Or what? You know, I've seen guys who like that had shoulder surgery and come back faster than these guys.
I don't know, man. I just hope guys want it. I hope guys haven't shut down, and we'll find out. I'm sure this is going to be another one that goes right down to the wire again with their injury and stuff. So we'll see. But hey, Bo, thanks, man. Appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We'll catch up with you later on.
All right, I'll see you in a little while. Kim Bocamper joining us to talk a little bit about the Miami Dolphins. I know I owe you, man. Go ahead, say something. You can say something. It's all right.
No, I didn't know stone crab season was coming up. Sounds good.
Fresh. Wait, the guy had to open his mouth. I was going to take you during that anyway. I was waiting for the stone crabs to take you for my lost bet. You're probably going to want to make another.
You want to go double or nothing this weekend?
No.
See how good you're feeling about the Chargers?
No, I'm not. I'm not doing that, man.
Everyone here. We'll bring the whole family.
I know. Yeah.
We'll go double or nothing if you want.
They weren't very nice to me on that bill that day. They guys loaded up. They thought I was some rich guy or something the way they were acting.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy, back with you here. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Vlad, can you boost up my buttons here, please?
-1 for tardiness, for hobnobbery. Right,
but you were talking to
for hobnobbery.
And you were talking to Lupe, who was wearing a Justin Herbert jersey.
Hey, that is weird.
I just come to find out she's a Charger fan.
About it, she's from.
She was born in San Diego.
Yeah.
All right, well, yeah, that's credentials. It did take me back though. I was like, huh? That was a little odd to see.
She was born there.
Good for her though.
But I could guarantee you she wouldn't know Justin Herbert if he came walk right through this building.
She does. She knows she's from Oregon.
Don't underestimate my girl.
I think I saw Gabby. Was Gabby wearing wearing Oregon. A Marcus Mariota jersey?
Yeah.
Random. A lot of Oregon love, man.
Love Oregon.
Random today. Look what you built, Mario Cristobal. Good for you, dude.
You know that's probably going to be the national title game, right?
Oregon versus Miami. That'd be cool. That would be cool.
Were you just dismissing Ohio State? I don't like them, but...
You'll take care of them. You always do.
You like your peoples? You like your ops?
I'm just saying. We just dismissing them?
Not dismissing.
They did win the championship last year, and they're undefeated this year.
They still can't beat Michigan.
They didn't have to beat them last year.
It doesn't matter. You still can't beat Michigan.
Okay.
That's what you told us.
It's not you.
I have a feeling he was a fifth in a row to Michigan.
You know what I tell him? I said, there used to be a rule. You couldn't win a national championship without beating Michigan. So the way I look at it, we back-to-back champs.
That's the way I would look at it. I like that.
They hate it. Dude, Vlad, that's my old Tobin right there.
I like that.
I just let that thing go up.
You're good.
Hey, I just look. Pull the pin and throw that thing in there.
He did that and wait for the combustion.
He
did that in an airport to some Ohio State fans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. The way I look at it, in order to win a national championship, you got to beat Ohio State or beat Michigan. So the way I look at it, we back-to-back champs, and they flipped out.
The another person who's not worried about it, Tua, not worried about it. He was asked about how he deals with fans who are perturbed. This is what he had to say.
One of the things that McDaniel praised you for earlier today is your ability to tune out the noise, right, both positive and negative. You know, obviously that's easier said than done. How have you been able to do that, and has it grown a little bit more difficult this year with, you know, the losses?
Yeah, I would say it hasn't been as difficult this year. Just because, as I've said in prior interviews, I'm not on social media. Like, I don't have any of that. And then outside of that, like, I go home. I see my kids. Whether I throw five picks or five touchdowns, we win the game, we lose the game. I get to come home to my kids who are happy to see me every time.
I don't want to hear that.
So, dude, can I just say...
Just get better at this.
Why are you... I'm gotta fight. Listen to this. Okay. So dedicated to the quibble that he goes to bat for OSU. Okay, jackass. You do realize Ohio State and Oregon play in the same conference, and I was more talking about you dismissing Ohio State over Oregon, not Miami. You do realize that, right? Okay, thank you.
Minus one.
As you were.
Dave.
Like, that's all I was.
When
they said Oregon.
No,
versus,
I got it.
I said, wait a minute. Ohio State just won a national championship. We just dismissing them?
And they are the
Oregon's one. In the Big Ten, too.
And they are the number one team in the country. So.
Right. Right. But they said, oh, just to argue, he will back Ohio State. Really? Really? Be better.
So should Tua's answer. I need a better answer.
Can I just say this? There, and I understand what he's trying to do.
Yep.
People don't want to hear that.
Dude.
Like, people want you. Look.
I'm glad you
The can. Last thing people want to, and I'm not saying this, and because I don't think this is true. Mm-hmm. The last thing people want to think is that you don't care about what's going on.
Yep.
And when you say stuff like that, it gives the appearance that you're.
I'm very happy that Tua is an awesome dad. The video of him. No, I'm serious. I saw that video.
Oh, you cried on Sunday.
I saw. I did. I made him my when we have a segment, predict the game ball. I picked Tua because of this adorable video of him hugging the kids before the game. I was like, oh, look at that. I'm happy for him. Right. I'm glad that Tua is an awesome dad, but dude, leave them out of it.
Right, but that's
don't blame us that, on your picks.
That's my point. Like, I would say this to fans: You think that this doesn't hurt me? I've been a winner my whole life.
Yeah,
I lost more games my rookie year than I lost in high school and college put together. You think this don't hurt?
Mm-hmm.
I said so.
TNP.
Let's start there.
As Dade South
if
says.
You ever give the appearance or it looks or suggest that you're not hurting like the rest of us, It comes across the way we're all assuming this Tua comment is coming across. Because that's the way people are going to look at it.
I think,
oh, he doesn't care if he wins or loses. He just all he wants, you know, and that's not the case.
I remember the Flores days of Tua when Tua was really getting like the, you know, and. You know, you felt bad for him, and I felt like he was wearing a lot of that stuff. So I'm sure that this dude's got some scars as far as, like, hearing people's commentary on stuff. But I do think, as the most prevalent voice of the team publicly, I do think you kind of need to have some awareness of being like, hey, you know, I understand the fans are upset. We're going to do everything we can to turn this around. You know, and you can say the social media thing. I know every player lies about that. I don't have social media. I don't hear anything.
No. Listen.
Fine. That's fine.
I call myself not that petty,
mm-hmm.
right? But I find myself responding every now and
then. Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, the flip on that should be like, hey, we're going to do everything. Let me tell you something. If you have a stinker this Sunday, that ain't social media in the stands.
Right.
They're going to boo, and they're going to be pissed. So, look, I'm glad that Tua's being an awesome dad. I think his kids are probably thinking to themselves,
did you not see the middle packed again, Dad? The linebacker was right there.
Just watch Bluey, kid. Shut up.
I mean, I just think I mean, like, don't get mad at Tua because everybody doesn't have the ability to be aware. And it just seems like some of his comments, he's only looking at it from what he's trying to say
mm-hmm.
and not what people are hearing. And it's a tough spot, right?
Do certain athletes, especially quarterbacks, do they put themselves in like a certain bubble? Because like that, it sounds almost like Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson is always
you have to because
expressing positivity and everything like that. And what happened to him over the last couple of years is that his guy, the guy that's always you know, giving him positive reinforcements and all of that, he passed away. And once he passed away, while he was struggling in Denver, it just continued. It just continued because, you know, Russell's whole image is about being positive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And once he lost that guy, it started he didn't have that positive reinforcement, that guy to go to talk. So that's why I'm wondering with Tua, because a lot of the answers just seem like you're not aware. But I'm just saying, maybe you're so focused, you put yourself in a bubble.
I think there's definitely that to them. That's what I say. Like, I go back to the early days of Tua when he was, you know, basically had people in the organization who didn't want him there. And he's like, you know, up on these podiums, he's like, I don't not feel wanted. Like, you know, he is always a very honest guy. And as media, you do appreciate honesty. But also, you got to have some, you know, as a
you
guy.
You can't have it both ways, though.
Yeah.
If a guy's always honest, then
but
so
I
be it.
I think you can keep some things to yourself too. Like,
I mean, that's part of it, though.
I don't know.
Like,
I
get, and I even understand. I even understand what he's trying to say, right? Like, I've heard players say, "Look, whether I win or lose, when I get home to my kids, they don't care.
Kids
they just
care.
Want daddy, and that's you know, that's a good thing."
He's lucky he doesn't have my kids, because when I have a bad bit, my kids tell me about it. We Sophia's know. Ruthless, dude.
We know.
She's ruthless.
So I just, like, didn't yeah, I get it, but in the environment that he's in, wouldn't be the next time to be so nonchalant about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, like, but I always tell people, if I handled that situation like you, I'd be you. Something about Tua, you say, I like the honesty, and I like, and if he's just being that consistently, then respect it. Right? Even if you don't like what he has to say or how he says it. The dude ain't never did, like, he's always been consistent with.
He's not a liar.
Trying to give
honest
answers.
He's a very
now,
honest
whether
guy.
You like those answers or not, that's a whole nother conversation. But you can't say, I like the way the dude is honest, like Gogi, right? Football Gogi, and then complain about the honest answers.
Yeah, but Gogi always knew the temperament, right? Like, Gogi would say the right thing at the right time. He would.
Yeah, like, I just, so.
Like, if Gogi thought, like, Bam was playing soft, he'd be like, he got to be more aggressive. Like, you know?
Right.
And he knew, like, the temperament of the situation. I just kind of feel like Tua doesn't know how to. You know, he's always throwing 99. Like, he never knows when the changeup is, you know?
And again.
He could have ended the answer after that on social media thing.
Yes, again.
All right, whatever.
Again, like,
I just want to win, yeah,
but
man.
That's the other thing.
Just miserable.
But the problem, the other thing is,
I just want to not lose all the time, right. And then like, because you're gonna do this, and then it's gonna be like, great, we're gonna end a third game with an interception. You know.
You know
like,
what sucks is that. So, we listen to Tua, and the problem is, I'm gonna tell you whose fault it is. Y'all want to know whose fault it is?
I feel this is gonna backfire on me.
It's Mike McDaniel's fault.
Oh, good.
You know why?
What's that?
Because all his answers are super, super long, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, when people were asking questions with Bill Belichick was the coach, short, precise, to the point, keep it moving. Now, Tua's starting to kind of...
Yeah, Tua's got his own podcast going every single week. He's got topics like du jour. Usually QBs and coaches just usually...
Right.
I don't even know what Justin Herbert's voice sounds like. And the only reason I know what Patrick Mahomes says is because he's got a funny voice, but he doesn't say anything interesting.
I can't tell you what Justin Herbert says.
I can't even tell you if Jalen Hurts tells you anything.
Jalen Hurts doesn't say anything.
He does the same thing. He's like, we need to execute on offense. We got to better execute. That's all. They don't give you much.
I anticipated this question.
It's your fault, Mike.
And the defense.
What would Socrates say to that?
Oh no! I just think part of it is we all appreciate his honesty until we don't, and you just gotta, if you say, hey, he's honest, he says what he feels or whatever, like it's not coming from a bad place. He doesn't really lash out. He just gives his opinion on it. That's fine. On the other side of it.
You like, can
understand where people are right now,
mm-hmm.
And know, like, and let's just be honest. A fan thinks like this, dude, if I'm miserable because my team is losing, I do not want to hear you going home having a good time. I want us to ride this misery out.
Agreed.
That's so I get all that.
No, but it's kind of hard.
No.
It's kind of hard. You got fans, and this is where fans are going to get upset. But it's not the player's fault.
No,
you want them to be upset, and they are upset. But it's just a difference in their being upset. They're going to a $5 million home while you're going to your little, like, you know, two-apartment shack.
But that's what Tua tried to – he tried to say, like, look, I go home to my family. But people just want, in all of those comments – to know that
it hurts.
Yo,
just
are,
as
you,
bad.
Are you?
Yeah,
are
but
you,
he paints the picture like he throws a game-ending interception, walks to the door, like, goes, "Ooh, Bluey!"
Right. That's it. That's it perfectly. It's not.
That's how he paints.
It's not right. It's not that it's even true. He could be home and be miserable.
Yep.
Because of the end, but the way he presented it makes it sound like, yeah, I threw four picks, and then I went play putt putt with my kids. Right, like. Like, we understand what you were trying to say, but it comes across, and that kind of is what yeah, I understand that. Like, people want to see, like, cuss. Like, if he would have went up there and dropped the F-bomb, everybody said, oh, he cares. That Tua cares, right? And it's unfortunate that people think that way. That's just the way it is. But you know what they don't want to hear? When they got wet and rainy and drank up all their liquor and tailgated and got up at 8 in the morning to barbecue and smoke stuff and then go out there and you throw a pick at the end of the game and then you say, oh, I'm going to go home and they... No! I want the same investment. I want you to be miserable like I feel. Wet, sweaty, drunk, cheering, all that for it to end on a pick. I want you to feel my pain. It doesn't mean he doesn't feel it. He just is not experiencing it the way you are. That's it.
We'll take a break. Back after this.
Welcome back in on QAM. You want to give your shout out this morning, Omar?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Luke. He's listening.
Good morning, Luke. I told you to text him back. I said, I'm a big fan.
I told you you're on air. He's actually listening.
All right. Well, good morning, Luke. Thank you for listening.
I'll tell you, when I DJ, Luke's music still hits.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you guys know I'm a club guy over a bar guy. I just am. Got, well, I like to hear that part.
Great.
You know.
Continue on with your club guy. No, I'm coming. Bar guy.
But you got to have a Miami set in the club. Yeah, and I know you're a DJ, Dan, so I would hope that you have a good five song Miami bass music array of music.
I may have to take Dan, you know, I may have to figure this out. So I've told Zog over there, we're talking about him again. My dream is like to one day just go into like a big, like a live or something. And I just want to just like one
press
song.
A button?
Just one song. I just want to push one button and just like. And that's it.
Yeah.
My DJ career will be over.
Hold on. You don't want the foam and the confetti? You don't want the...
I just want one drop, like one big drop, and just like everyone to go nuts. And
yeah, I know you love
just
the house.
Push or like fake turn one of those knobs or whatever. Like
With your headphones and just be bopping.
Yeah, man. I just see that.
I can see that. We all got to have life goals.
So he has not been able to make that happen for me. Maybe Dan can make
he
that
like,
happen.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I think that's on you because... DJ Zog would love for you to handle his equipment for one not. Well, that's a sounds bad.
I don't think he would. I don't think he would. That did sound terrible. But anyway, good morning, Luke. Thank you for.
I mean, you know the guys who carry people's like mixers and stuff like that. You could learn how to set up.
It would be like his roadie.
Yeah. Okay. You could be DJ Zog's roadie.
You're missing the point here. I just want to turn the knob.
I know, but he's going to let you turn the knob.
One knob turn, one button.
Early, they don't even do that. They don't even do their set.
That doesn't do anything. I just want to. That's all. That's all.
I'm just telling you. You can do the early 11 o'clock hour set for DJ Zog.
All right, fair enough. I want to get back to the Dolphin stuff here. And Dan, do we have a couple of these sound bites here? So let's play Mike first. This is from yesterday. Over in Miami Gardens, here's what Mike McDaniel had to say.
It's one of the reasons I focus on how he grows as a quarterback in the micro instances that I think are so difficult as a franchise quarterback in the National Football League. If you're uncomfortable with the stakes of the game, it's not a game for you. You're not going to change the stakes.
Yeah. All right, so that's Mike.
Let me put a little context on
that. Go ahead, please.
That was a question from Chris Perkins about, you know, does Tua feel pressure from basically being in the AFC conference where all the big dogs are at?
Yes,
correct. Know, you're Josh Allen's and Joe Burrow, even though Joe Burrow's not playing right now. Lamar's not playing right now.
We know the characters.
Because all these QBs, they get injured. You just only remember it when Tua gets injured, but I understand. And Tua is actually injured right now,
by
the way.
In fairness, I know. I see that he popped up on the injury report. In fairness, Joe Burrow, we have been critical of him as well. And I want to say Joe Burrow has now missed more time than Tua.
Absolutely, he has. But nobody thinks about that because he took the team to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's a big deal, too.
Yeah.
But... You know, look, if you're going to be injury prone, you can at least be elite like Joe Burrow. But anyway, go ahead. Continue on.
I thought
you were going to continue
I said
do you want to hear from Tua now?
Yeah.
So let's hear Tua's follow-up to that, and here's what he had to say yesterday.
Zach McDaniel praised you for earlier today is your ability to tune out the noise, right, both positive and negative. You know, obviously that's easier said than done. How have you been able to do that, and has it grown a little bit more difficult this year with, you know, the losses?
Yeah, I would say it hasn't been as difficult this year, just because, as I've said in prior interviews, I'm not on social media, like I don't have any of that, and then outside of that, like I go home, I see my kids, whether I throw five picks or five touchdowns, we win the game, we lose the game, I get to come home to my kids who are happy to see me every time.
So there's Tua yesterday, and he's a little bit like flippant about, you know,
it's not
the losses.
When you have a hard day at work, you don't want to see your kids and go play, and they make it better.
Here's the issue.
I mean, your kids are usually at school when you're working.
Here's the issue.
Yeah.
You play 17 of these games.
Uh-huh.
You're getting paid a fortune to play these games. You're the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
Even if you don't care, even if it doesn't bother you, even if you can shake off these losses and just go home and have fun, go up to the podium. The one day a week you speak to the media, he speaks to the media for 10 minutes a week.
Let's say
go up
I'm
to the media
depressed.
And just say, No, he doesn't have to say I'm super depressed.
I have
depressed.
No happiness in my
he
life.
He doesn't have to say that. He can go up to the podium and say, you know what? Yeah, I hear it. I'm frustrated too. It's bothering me. We're going to do whatever we can to get it right.
Yeah, sure.
You just blew a 17-0 lead on the road to Carolina. Your coach is probably out of a job. Your GM's probably going to be out of a job.
Maybe.
You better not do this to people because I think people are going to riot if they don't make changes this year. I thought people were going to riot this past year if they didn't make changes.
No, apathy is definitely going to set in, and they got to do something.
I think people are going to go bonkers if they don't make some serious changes after this year.
Yeah, they'll make serious changes.
I also don't believe, unless you are willing to sell me some magic hope this morning, which you've been known to do from time to time, I don't think there is a way to turn this around with the personnel that they have.
Maybe.
Now, again, they just blew a 17-point lead to Carolina.
But they're a bad team, too.
So sell me.
What?
Sell
okay,
me.
So,
you just said there is.
Okay.
Sell me.
Well,
you would need to win, let's say, 9 games from here on out.
Okay. The next batch of...
Is that correct? Yes. You would have to go 9-3 to probably make the playoffs?
Correct.
You have just brought out, just so people that can't see you, if you're not on the YouTube stream this morning, you have just brought out some sort of book.
Yeah. It's
I don't know if this is your Dolphins notebook where you jot down your crazy ideas.
It's our weekly release, which is,
I assume you have a pen somewhere and you jot down like crazy stuff that pops into your head.
It's all in there. All right.
So what's rattling around in there? Help me out here, Omar, as to how you salvage this season.
Okay. You have some injuries on this team. You lose Tyreek. You're playing without the right side of your offensive line.
Okay. Every team has injuries. Can I continue, please?
Yeah. I appreciate that. You're going to be playing without your starting inside linebacker, Terrell Dotson, this week because he's in the concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. You'd be an idiot to play a linebacker 1 week after a concussion. Mm-hmm. Darren Waller is, healthy, maybe. Kind of, your second best offensive weapon. My point is you've got challenges, but every team has challenges. Mm-hmm. Look at the Los Angeles Chargers. Mm-hmm. They're playing without their two starting offensive tackles. They are playing with their third string running back at this point.
Yeah, they lost one of their Amari and Hampton.
I'm sure they've got other injuries as well. Their roster isn't,
everyone does.
Yeah, everyone does. They're playing without Khalil Mack. Everyone does. So the Chargers are making a cross-country trip with an injury-depleted roster. While you're injury-depleted as well, you are at home.
So you're going cross-country on me?
Oh, yeah. That's never easy. I don't know if you've made cross-country trips, but yeah.
I have taken four-hour airplane rides, yes. Continue.
It's not four. It's not four.
Whatever.
It's five.
Five? Sorry.
Like five and a half. Come on. Let's be...
Well, you do know that they actually the Chargers. I don't know if you saw this. They're taking Frontier Airlines down here.
Oh no!
So they're going to be in those really cramped.
You're a liar.
Seats.
Stop.
So yeah, they're not even going to give them water on the flight.
I can guarantee you, it'd be a loss if they took Frontier Airlines
on Frontier.
So they're going to win this game. They are going to take a charter flight down here and stay in a luxury hotel and then play the football game. Yes. Okay. Continue on.
Okay, you could win this game technically. Now, if you don't. Then, the apocalypse is here. Cleveland on the road. Who's Cleveland's starter?
Shedeur Sanders, maybe, by then?
Probably. And that would be a scary challenge, by the way. They just traded Joe Flacco. So then you get Atlanta.
The problem is, this funny thing is, I don't think it matters who starts at quarterback right now against the Dolphins. And I think Bryce Young is as bad as they come. If you can run the ball, they had a backup running back run for... like 200 yards.
Yeah.
If you can do that,
yeah,
you could start at quarterback, Omar.
Which is why I consistently say the Miami's inability to stop the run is problem number one, but everybody's obsessed with Tua. Like that should be what we're talking about. We should be talking about, hey, this team for 4 weeks cannot stop the run and have said week after week after week after week we need to start to stop the run and the bleeding continues. That should be problem number one, but it's Tua's fault.
See, that's the problem. I think you try to simplify it too much. And no. I think a lot of people try to do this. Like, this is not a Tua is the only problem situation. This is not the team is elite and Tua sucks. That's not what people are saying.
Your team got a lot of problems. He's not really one of them right now.
I believe.
Yeah.
That Tua is part of the problem. Okay. He is not part of the solution.
Why is he part of the problem? Don't answer why is he not part of the solution. Tell me why he's part of the problem.
Because why is he part of the problem?
Yes, tell me
Do you watch the games?
I didn't ask you that. I need your reason why he's part of the problem.
Because when it's third and five or six or whatever.
He's one of the best quarterback in the NFL on third downs.
And he turns the corner to run. And he has to slide 3 yards short of the sticks because he is not a football player.
What,
that's a problem.
What does the team and the organization and his teammates, what have they hammered into his head this offseason?
He needs to slide.
Stay healthy. Keep yourself available, right?
Baker Mayfield and sliding in that spot?
I just asked you a question.
Is Justin Herbert going to
slide? Hold on, wait. Pause. Put a pause in it. What have we said to Tua the entire offseason? Media, GM, the GM called him out in a press conference. GM, head coach, players, what have they all hammered in his head? Hey,
stay
dude,
healthy.
Don't risk anything.
But isn't
keep
that
yourself
part,
available.
But that's part of the problem, though.
Okay.
It's part of the problem when you have a football-playing quarterback that can't take a hit.
He plays
that's
football.
Part of the problem.
Okay, could Drew Brees take a hit? Could Tom Brady take a hit? Sometimes you don't have athletic quarterbacks. I know it's the fad, the trend, the in thing right now. I know Baker Mayfield is
right.
Killing it right now.
He just went on this rant about how the AFC's got all these elite quarterbacks,
yes.
Right? Which elite quarterback in the AFC can't run and can't extend a play with his legs? Riddle me that one.
Joe Burrow, because he keeps
getting
hurt.
No, Joe Burrow can run.
Joe Burrow, because he keeps getting hurt.
He's injury prone. That's fine.
Okay, Tua's injury prone, too. Nobody's taking Joe Burrow out the elite club.
It's interesting when you say, what does Tua do that hurts the team? This is the thing. The great quarterbacks find ways to bail out their defense.
Yes. Yes.
What did Tua do? What did Tua do?
Threw
when he had
a 46-yard touchdown to Jalen Waddle.
What about when he overthrew Jalen Waddle on that second down?
Sometimes it happens.
Help your team out.
Dan is a broken post-game host right now. Listen to him. There.
I'm not arguing with you. If there is one limitation that Tua has, he's not a killer.
Isn't that one of the most important things to being a great quarterback? Tom Brady, Drew Brees, you just mentioned him.
Absolutely.
Tom Brady, by the way, for this, everyone that's like, Tom Brady couldn't take it. Tom Brady played part of that era where they used to tee off on quarterbacks. So, like, remember, Brady played for like 50 years.
And then they created rules to protect him.
All right, we have to take a pause. Alan Poupard is going to join us. We'll see where he weighs in on all
of
this
stuff.
Oh, I
know where he weighs in.
I know. I tend to side with him more on a lot of this stuff.
Everybody sides with him because everything is wrong. Tua is the fault for everything that's wrong with the Miami Dolphins. Tua is at fault.
Tua is a part of the problem. He is not the problem.
Tell me why he's part of the problem. Because he can't run for a third and six, that's why he's part of the problem?
No, because he's just not good enough. He's just not good enough. He will
not.
He's
on pace to be.
He is not.
The third quarterback in NFL history.
No, but he hasn't.
Let me finish.
It's the same problem, though. No,
he's on pace to be the third quarterback in NFL history that produces a 100 passer rating.
Stop.
Third in NFL history.
Stop. They need
Steve
to be,
Young,
they need to win.
Aaron Rodgers.
They
only,
need to win games,
yeah.
And they need to beat a team
he's a
that,
winner.
Is, that is not a trash team. They've the only team they've beaten this year, the New York Jets.
Okay,
that's
all Tua's fault.
Wins and losses are
that
important.
That is all Tua's fault.
We've got to take a break. We'll be back with more.
39 and 28, all Tua's fault.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts. Fault.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM as we take you guys up until 2. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with a juicy Week 6 matchup between the LA Chargers and Miami Dolphins. That's how they write it. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I'm not saying, you know, it's a nice thing for them to say that it's juicy. You want to know how I know it's not juicy? No Kevin Harlan.
He doesn't do your games.
We're not worthy of him. We're not worthy of him. We're not. Oh, we do. We do have your guy. I think Charles Davis is on because they.
Yeah,
they,
because they he pushed was on him down. With Joe.
Charles,
I still holler at him every now and then.
Ron Pitts.
We just laugh. I mean, it.
That's the craziest
it would go down in history as one of the funniest stories I've ever been involved in.
I legitimately think about it every time a player is getting chased down. I think about that every because, single time.
Because the crazy thing is that. When I told Jay, I told the story in Cleveland, and so Jay called Charles, and he goes, "Yeah, that wasn't me."
It's amazing.
And I'm like, "What?" And so Jay's laughing because
the craziest thing though is he said that him and Pitts used to do games together.
Right.
That's what's wild about
right.
it. It's like this weird Kevin Bacon thing, and I wonder what it would sound. What those did it sound back in the day? Remember when the Marlins had Severino and Todd Hollinsworth, and you
yes!
could not tell them apart.
Yeah,
it's like that. What the broadcast sounded like?
Well, I mean, it like just like I'm like Charles. No, I used like I thought we were cool, right? He goes, "Yeah, it wasn't me." And I'm like, I carried that.
Mm.
I carried that around for a long time.
I know you did, dude.
Yeah,
not a grudge holder.
I'm not a grudge holder, but I'm like, why would he say something like that?
Let's get to a Tito's Fantasy update. Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite Ooh. Vodka for a reason. Distilled 6 times till it's just right. Tito's is known for great vodka, giving back, and doing good for dogs. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Incorporated, Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly. Tua appeared on the injury report yesterday.
Hurt
with
feelings?
We got to get to something that he said.
Sensitive heart?
He has a two great things that you would love with Tua. One, hip injury, which awesome, and left thumb, which.
I mean, keep in mind, let's be clear about the injury report. The injury report is there simply because if you have anything, a bump, bruise, or whatever, you go on the injury report. So everybody's transparent. It doesn't mean that he's hurt. It doesn't mean
he was limited in practice, though.
That's why he had to be on the injury report.
Yeah, you know, give him a couple throws off. Put Quinn Ewers out there for practice.
Dude, can I just? This will be the end of me at this job.
Why?
Because everybody wants to get new this, new that, and whatever.
New stuff's fun, dude. Did you see that preseason game last night?
Hold on. And then when I asked them, okay, what's your solution? Your solution is as ridiculous as you just wanting a clean house. So when I say, hey, y'all want to move on from Tua? Okay, he's got $53 million guaranteed. Who are you going to bring in? Anybody. Somebody in the draft. It doesn't matter. So, like, that's not an answer, though. So if I took and told you, right, that you have an employee or whatever, that next year is guaranteed. You may have questions about how they do the job, and you don't know if that's going to be the guy in the future or the girl that you hired in the future, but you ain't going to just dismiss them and give that money away.
What's the scenario here, though? Are the Dolphins cleaning house in your
case? It doesn't matter.
It does matter. It absolutely matters.
So if they're cleaning house, mm-hmm. if the Dolphins are cleaning house, you think they'd cut bait and just pay $52 million?
Yes.
Denver did.
Do you understand, okay, that you think your team is bad now? If you have $53 million less in salary,
mm-hmm.
regardless of who it is, that you're going to be worse?
Who are they paying, though?
What do you mean?
Like, who are they going to pay with that money?
Do you don't know it does. Tua's next year, Tua's money's guaranteed.
Yes.
It counts against the books.
Understood.
So if you get rid of him, you still got to pay it?
Yeah, but you could go with a rookie quarterback. Like, that's done. Like, it's been done before.
Denver's doing it.
Denver's the only team that's done that for that number.
I think San Francisco did it as well.
No,
I think they did.
Not for that amount of money, dude.
Well, no, nobody's amount of money that amount.
No,
of money.
But
Daniel Jones, they just did it in New York.
No, he wasn't. He no money against the cap.
Yes, he did. He signed a new extension with them. Yes, he is.
They're but he didn't count. He only counted like $20 million against
the cap. They cut bait on Daniel Jones the year they paid him.
Yeah, but
I guarantee that Daniel Jones.
It depends on what they counted against the cap, not when they cut him.
Okay, but here's the thing: if you are sitting here and you're cleaning house, I'd imagine that we all know that you're going to take a step back here. Like, that's the inevitability of the NFL. And if you're going to do that, one, do you want to have somebody as Tua who could probably lead you to like 7 wins, 6 wins, who knows? Mm-hmm. And you have like an 8th pick, or do you want to really like screw the pooch?
But you're – here's the part I think drives me. I get people wanting to move on. I'm not even mad at that, okay? The problem is everybody wants to do this to fix the problem without giving a solution as to how to fix the problem. If you want a different quarterback, where are you going to get one? And to just say, oh, we can just get one in the draft. What if this year's draft class isn't good? Then you're going to end up reaching on a quarterback.
Yeah, or you could just wait until the next year.
That's what I'm saying. So why get rid of Tua and wait till next year?
Because then you're going to end up with a terrible pick.
I don't
understand. Like, first of all, here's what's crazy to me.
Okay.
We're not talking about a Dolphins team that's like, I could kind of get your argument right now if the Dolphins were like going to barely make the playoffs, right?
No,
like,
no. I understand. This has nothing to do with.
I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
They're already one of the worst teams in football. What do they have to lose? They're very clear what they're doing isn't working.
See, I look at it from the standpoint of all the years I've been around football and hearing the complaints of teams, and I know that for a fact that if you do this, that it's going to cost you not only next year, but the following years. Because if you don't get it right, you're going to be terrible for a long time.
It depends.
And
I mean,
no, it doesn't.
It does depend. Because
I've seen it. It happens a lot.
Okay. But it's one of these things, like if you look at Indianapolis, nobody would have thought this year that Daniel Jones finds a new situation for him and it would have worked out great.
Yeah.
You know, Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. Like, maybe something will shake their way. Like, there is something to be said for, hey, a situation's not working out. It is time to move on. I say this is a guy who's, look, I'm a Tua fan. Now, listen, he's got to get better at press conferences. His press conferences have been like bang your head against the wall bad the last 4 weeks. I need whoever is there to coach Tua up.
Mike McDaniel.
You need to coach him up on press conferences.
Mike's coaching him up.
You need to say, hey, Tua, when they ask about fans, shut up. Just do better with those questions. I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong. I'm just saying what you're saying is
not appropriate.
Not the best route, dude.
Right.
Because there's this thing called the internet. It doesn't forget. And they also will take you wildly out of context. And I just feel like he never sees it coming. But it doesn't really matter. He doesn't see it. So it only angers all of us. But like, I'm like, dude.
So what happened now?
We got to take a break. But it's not hour Tua. I'm going to talk about Tua. It's just a regular old second hour where we happen to be talking about Tua. But it's not hour Tua.
There's no longer an hour Tua.
I just want to be clear. Just want to be clear.
You don't have to be clear. We're all familiar with
sometimes
what
they this. Do. Some people are unaware of the suspension. Some people are unaware.
Let's just put it this now. The hour Tua is done for the rest of 2025.
It looks that way.
It looks that way. What, they're going to go 9-3 in the next 12?
That would be what it has to take, yes. You know. But, I mean, that's like saying, you know, I don't know, a Pokemon's going to walk in here. It's not going to happen.
Scooby, come here.
He's not a Pokemon. He's a real dog.
He's a Pokemon.
Back after this.
All right, we're going to talk with Chris Perkins of the Sun Sentinel here. Old Dolphins talk. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Chris Perkins, columnist for the Sun Sentinel, covering the Miami Dolphins. You can also hear him Sunday on Game Day Uncensored with Alejandro Solana and Brendan Tobin. So I'll help you get ready for Miami and the Chargers. Perk is with us now. You wrote a column earlier this week, Perk, that McDaniel has to be gone after this season. There's nothing that can be done, right, in your opinion? There's nothing that can be done that's left to be done where you would say, you know what, this coach and this regime deserves another shot at it.
Well, look, if they duplicate the 2016 team, which was also 1-4 and made it to the playoffs and win a playoff game, then I will say okay. But from the start of this season, even last season, even in 2023, I was saying the measure of a successful season is winning a playoff game. In 2022, they already showed us they could make the playoffs. They showed us they could make the playoffs with Tua missing games. So now you have to go to the next step. You have to show us that you can win a playoff game. And now here we are almost three seasons later, and two-plus seasons later, and you're not on track to make the playoffs. Not only that, your best game this season was probably that loss to Buffalo, right? I mean, you held on for that Jets game, and so I don't see progress. I don't see the cavalry coming because Tyreek is out for the season. Maybe James Daniels and Austin Jackson come back, but what is that going to do for you? This season is pretty much a lost cause, and the reason that I say that Mike can't come back next season as opposed to he should lose his job today, I think the players are still listening to Mike, okay? And so I think the players like Mike. I think the players respect Mike. But one more loss, two more losses, they're going to stop listening to Mike. And at that point, to me, that's when you need to make the change.
Did he have anything interesting to say at his press conference today? Was there anything that you came away with?
No, not really. I mean, he was, you know, he was the low-key Mike that he's been this season. You know, the jokes aren't there because nothing's funny when you're 1-4. So he was the normal low-key Mike today that he's been all season. And, you know, look, I like Mike. This is not a personal thing. This is business, right? That, you know, you were given the best talent this organization has had in two decades and you couldn't do anything with it. It's time for a change. But yeah, Mike was the same Mike today.
So Perk, why Mike McDaniel? Or I guess let me ask it this way. We were talking earlier about who should go first, and I believe it's inevitable both will go, Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. Does it matter who ends up getting fired first? Do you feel like one needs to go before the other? Do you feel like they all have to go together? Does that process matter in your eyes?
It's rare that a GM gets fired mid-season. I think the Jets might have been the last team to do it a few years ago. Usually the coach goes mid-season and the GM goes, you know, after the season. But I said in the column twice that Steve Ross needs to take a broom to this organization, meaning Greer, McDaniel, Tua, that you shouldn't bring any of them back because they've all shown that they're not good enough to get you where you need to get. And as far as Tua, look, you can take the Russell Wilson Denver approach, right, where you just take the financial pain, or you can take the Atlanta Kirk Cousins approach where you have him on the roster but he's not the starter and maybe you wait for a desperate team to come by and offer you a trade. But to me, none of these guys have shown, and they've had three-plus seasons together, that they can take you where you need to be. You should have a playoff win by now. I'm not saying that you should be at Kansas City level, but you should be at the Buffalo-Baltimore level. And it's important to point out that neither Josh Allen nor Lamar Jackson have been to a Super Bowl, right? So it's not like I'm saying they should be at some great level. They should be as good as those teams, and they're nowhere near those teams. So I think to get a clean start, you take all three of them out, and because I wouldn't want to bring in a new GM and say you have to have Mike McDaniel and Tua. I wouldn't want to have to bring in a new coach and say you've got Chris Greer and Tua. If they want to keep Tua next season, if there's a new GM and a new coach, and if they want to keep Tua, that's fine. But to me, you know, given Tua's limitations as far as mobility and performance in big games at big moments, right? We've seen the interceptions against New England and Buffalo, late game interceptions. I say make a clean sweep, take the financial pain, and start all over again.
I know you said that the team still likes Mike and he doesn't seem to have lost the locker room. Is there any splintering that you can notice? One of the things Crowder had told us this week was when you see a team up 17, the defense can't hold on to that lead, that while everyone might be kumbaya in public, you might start to get that splintering where the offense is saying, hey, defense, can you stop someone? The defense might be saying to the offense, hey, offense, can you maybe, you know, rush for some yardage and stay on the field a little bit longer? You sense any kind of splintering?
I don't. But I'll tell you this. I did have a very interesting conversation with Jack Jones today. And so I went up to him and, you know, I like to do one-on-ones. I don't like to do group interviews. I like to talk to players one-on-one and establish a relationship. So I went up to Jack and I said, Jack, just give me some football knowledge. What's your mindset in bouncing back in a game and in a season when you have the penalties that you had last game? And I said, I'm not going to write this. We're just talking. And he goes, no, you need to write this. So I was like, all right, Jack. And so he goes off on this long rant about how the game is built for the offense to succeed and the calls aren't equal. And when the defensive player is just trying to keep up, he's going to get called. And he said, and Jack Jones is great. Jack Jones is a very stand up guy. Remember what he said about Amon-Ra St. Brown during the joint practice. He cooked me. You know, so Jack Jones I knew Jack was going to be very open and honest about it, but he went on a nice rant. And then David Ferronis, my coworker at the Sun Sentinel, walked up, and Jack kept going, and we lingered too long. You know, strategically in a locker room, you want to have the story to yourself. And Barry Jackson noticed we were over there, so Barry Jackson came over. So it's going to be in the Herald and the Sentinel, damn it. But it won't be in the Palm Beach Post. But Jack Jones.
Barry Jackson's a lurker. Let's all be honest. Barry Jackson's a lurker.
Always have to look over my shoulder for Barry. He moves like a cat. Jack was very good. He was very open about the situation, and you can read about it in the Sun Sentinel tomorrow. David Ferronis will write it about which calls that Jack Jones thought were legit in the game and which he weren't. Which he didn't think so. And he credited Hunter Renfro from Carolina as being shrewd and knowing how to work the system to get the call. So Jack was very realistic, but Jack also kind of went off kind of on the game and the way it's kind of rigged against defensive players.
There's part of, you know, this entire situation where the Dolphins are in, Perk, that, you know, somebody who's had this very skeptical view of everything that's been happening, I'd say it's also a little unlucky with the injuries as well. And yep. I think Jack Jones is one of those guys they brought in, and they were hoping he would exceed the expectations set on him. And there's a couple other examples on the defense specifically. How would you grade how, you know, some of these guys who were signed, whether off waivers, whether off the practice squad, how would you grade how the Dolphins have managed all the big injuries to the defense through 5 weeks?
Well, you know, I'll say this. The roster construction and the planning was bad. And I give this is institutional failure. And that's what I said in the column, is that the institution has failed here because you didn't prepare for the cornerback situation properly, right? You knew that Jalen Ramsey wanted out. And so instead of drafting a cornerback in the third or fourth round, you traded out of those rounds and traded up to get Jonah, and you left the cupboard bare at cornerback. And so, you know, when Storm Duck and Cater get injured, you've got nothing left. You don't have a rookie. You don't have any vets. As far as the offensive line, well, you needed to build better depth. And that's biting you in the butt right now. You re-signed Liam Eikenberg, and he was injured. And Mike McDaniel tells us it's some kind of a chronic condition. Well, what was your plan? Like, you knew he wasn't going to take the field anytime soon. What was the plan? And so with a lot of these injuries, it's the management. I mean, it's the planning here that you didn't have a backup plan. And really, I go to just this whole philosophical change of we're going to win with youth and draftees instead of winning with vets and free agents. Okay, if you're going to win with youth and draftees, why the heck are you trading out of the third and fourth round? Like, and now you're going to rely on fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders? You basically made it a two-person draft. Jonah in the second round and Kenneth Grant in the first round. Like, nobody's realistically thinking fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders are going to contribute as rookies. So, your philosophical change doesn't really jive with what you did on draft day. And I think it goes with the cornerback plan. Like, what was your plan at cornerback with Jalen Ramsey gone? What was your plan at tight end with Jonnu Smith gone? I just see a lot of these things as bad planning, and it's what's been happening in this whole three-plus-year administration of Greer and McDaniel. It's not been good enough. I'll say this. Greer and McDaniel did a great job of amassing talent, but they just didn't deploy it correctly, and they didn't build enough backups, and now you're paying the price for it.
So all that being said, you give them any kind of puncher's chance Sunday about, you know, I guess coming back from a collapse against a team that shouldn't be able to come back against you with Bryce Young, right, quarterback, the 17-point deficit. Do you give them a chance Sunday to come out and make some sort of emphatic statement like, hey, we took one on the chin, but we're not going anywhere. We're still here. We're still playing. We're going to play some good football.
I do. Yeah. I definitely do. Now, I picked the Chargers to win 28-20, but I don't expect this team to fold. I've written this the last couple of years, and I believe it right now. I like the fighting spirit of this team. This team doesn't give up. They don't quit. They might not be very good, and they might make some boneheaded errors, but they don't quit. They don't point fingers. They haven't quit on Mike McDaniel. I like the competitiveness, the fighting spirit of this team. They just aren't very good, and the reason they aren't very good is because of Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. I don't expect Jack Jones to go out there and play like a Pro Bowl player, or Daniel Brunskill, or Keon Smith, or a lot of these other guys that have been thrust into these roles. They're busting their butt. They're doing the best they can. They're just not very good, and they're put in this position through bad organizational planning. So they do have a chance on Sunday. I definitely think they have a chance. And I think under McDaniel, I figured out this number today. I think they're 18-7 or something like that at home under McDaniel. So I definitely give them a chance, but I don't know that they're going to be good enough to beat the Chargers, who are also having their own injury issues at offensive line and running back like the Dolphins. So who knows what will happen, but I don't think that they're just going to get their butts kicked.
Perk, that offensive line might be the only one worse than the Dolphins.
Coming in. Exactly.
And I don't care. I think the Tua versus Herbert conversation is officially dead. Like, that's never one that the Dolphins are going to feel like they won. But no matter what the situation is, Perk, it's always going to feel good to beat Justin Herbert, whether it's with Tua, whether it's with whoever. So even if this loss is – even if a win this Sunday, you know, in the grand scheme of things is meaningless – go beat Justin Herbert if you can every single time.
Yeah. You don't want to keep hearing about that, do you? If Chris Greer or Mike McDaniel or anybody at this facility that, you know, you made the wrong choice, you drafted the wrong guy. Yeah, you want Tua to stick it to Justin Herbert and so that you can say, see, like, we didn't necessarily make the wrong choice. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, Tua is better in the playoffs than Herbert, right? Tua 0-1, Herbert 0-2, so there's that.
That's right. That's
an excellent stat to have in my arsenal there.
Right.
I'm arguing
exactly.
For Tua. That's
exactly.
Read Chris Perkins' work in the Sun Sentinel. Make sure you have the Sun Sentinel app. Make sure you subscribe to the Sun Sentinel as well. Listen to Perk Sunday, Game Day Uncensored, right here on this very radio station with Solana and Tobin. Thank you, Perk.
All right, Solana, we'll talk Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Yahoo Sports, Frank Schwab at Yahoo Sports. He did quarter season grades for NFL teams. And he writes, the list of teams that feel like legitimate Super Bowl contenders is very small, considering we're only about a quarter of the way through the season. The Bills are one in the AFC. And maybe someone from the AFC West is too, and perhaps you believe in the Colts or the Jaguars. The NFC is a little deeper, but everyone has taken at least one bad loss after only 5 weeks. teams like the Eagles, Lions, Packers, and Rams are very good, but consistency hasn't been a strong suit. Here's your grades for the AFC East. Buffalo Bills, an A. Mm-hmm. I probably don't need to read you what his reasoning is. New England Patriots, a B.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the difference between weeks 1 and 5 is dramatic. Yeah. And that's what you want to see, obviously, is that kind of growth. The Miami Dolphins get a D.
Yes.
He writes, at least the Dolphins aren't winless. They beat the woebegone Jets. Everything else hasn't looked great, and it's unlikely to get better with Tyreek Hill out for the season and the run defense looking like it cannot be fixed. The Dolphins aren't the worst team in the NFL, but it's close, and head coach Mike McDaniel is certainly on the hot seat. And then, of course, you've got the New York Jets, who got an F. Only one team doesn't have a win. The Jets looked okay in week 1, barely losing to the Steelers. It has been rough ever since. Most of their games haven't been competitive. They make way too many mistakes for a team that is already at a talent disadvantage. It's way too early to start seriously worrying about Aaron Glenn as a new head coach, but nothing has looked good for the Jets yet.
Nope. I agree with that totally. And the Dolphins, to knock them up from an F, they just beat an F. So they won the toilet bowl.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's rough right now in Miami.
I don't know where you go from there, because he even says they're a run defense that looks like it cannot be fixed. Well, if you can't fix that run defense, then you're done for the season. I mean, you're literally done. If you're going to have teams push you 6, 7, 8 yards off the line of scrimmage all season long, you don't have a chance to do anything.
Players are scheme. You're not bringing in Keith Traylor. You're not going to get a Calais Campbell. You're not getting a Chris Jones right now. So personnel set. Scheme. Even Anthony Weaver, he wants to stop the run. He cannot load the box because our corners can't be. We see what Jax Jones did when he has to do one-on-one man coverage on the outside. He can't do it. So do you want to – I'll tell you this. If we stop the run, if we literally load up to stop the run, they're going to have 300 yards passing. Almost pick your poison.
But, Crowder, I do think there is room, in my opinion, for growth from Kenneth Grant, from Jordan Phillips, from guys you expected to be ready.
Get pushed 6 yards instead of 8.
Right.
They'll get pushed 5.
You would agree, right? Like, here's my rationale, because people are already out on Kenneth Grant. And look, I'm not saying I'm happy with his production. There's probably a case to be made there was somebody better that the Dolphins could have selected to help them now. But clearly these were projects that they drafted, with Savaii Naia included on the other side of the football. Last year, Chop Robinson through 8 weeks, Crowder, what would we have graded him? Not an A, not a B, not a C. But the last 8 weeks of the season, you probably grade the Dolphins draft an A, a B, at the very least a B minus. I think there's still room for that from Kenneth Grant, which helps the run defense. Does it make the Dolphins defense good? No. But at the very least, you're not embarrassing yourself week in, week out.
Chop Robinson didn't have to play because we had Phillips and Chubb.
Until he had to play, though.
Until he had to play.
Chubb didn't play last year, and Phillips came back and by week 5 was out with an injury.
And they forced him to play.
Until he had to play.
Yeah. And Chop still can't set the edge. He's not a big dude. He's a pass rusher. That's what he did. That's what he did at Penn State. The first round is not for development. Honestly, I'm with you on development. The first round is not for development. First rounder is supposed to come in and contribute.
Unless you're a really good playoff team already and you can take a flyer on someone in the first round that you can see yourself developing over the next couple of seasons, but not for a team that was in the Dolphins situation.
It's another knock on Chris Greer, whether or not it's fair. You had 3 first round picks back in 2020, and 2 of the 3 outside of Tua were like projects, with Austin Jackson, who ended up not working out as a left tackle. You had to swing him over to right tackle. And it's year 6 of AJ, and you're still kind of like, bro, this guy's never available. He's not necessarily great when he's out there. And then Noah Igbinoghene was another project. Like, they took 2 swings in the first round when they didn't need to. They needed to go get guys that could help them immediately. And that seems to be a trend with Chris Greer. He likes projects.
Yeah, it's always guys that you say, who was that again? You have to go look him up. I don't want to look him up. Give me some All-Americans. Give me the All-Americans. They were the best in college. Let me see what they can do. Don't try to be too sneaky and, oh, I'm smarter than y'all. Seems like they try to get smarter than people, and the guys can't play. Kenneth Grant gets root. If two guys touch him, which is going to happen every play in the NFL, he can't hold his ground. That's his job. He's supposed to hold his ground. He doesn't have to make a tackle. Just hold up two so your linebackers can get over top. He can't do that at this current moment. To your point, Solana, can he become, you know, Haloti Ngata? Maybe, but I don't see it right now.
Chris Greer with the first round draft picks is like me on the Hard Rock Bet app. I don't want a minus 110, you know, pick a side. I want to hit a three leg parlay and get a big payday. I'm not even kidding you. That's kind of the way, like, I think he looks at it like, oh, well, anyone can take that guy. It's not going to move the needle too much, but he's going to do his job. And he goes for the parlay, tries to hit the teaser. Anyway, we'll get some winners. Hopefully in the next hour, Rob Pizzola is going to join us. In fact, before we take a break here, let me give away these comedy tickets. And we've got a pair every day this week, so we'll have one more pair tomorrow if you don't win today. Comedian Trevor Wallace is coming to the Broward Center October 17th. What caller number do you want to take for these tickets, CC?
15.
15, caller number 15, 305-567-0560. 305-567-0560.
Abdul Carter is one of the top pass rushers right now in the NFL. Igbuka, have you seen what the guy in Tampa Bay is doing, that young boy?
Crazy.
He's leading to watch.
He is ridiculously good. Tyler Warren, the guy from Penn State, we could have drafted as a tight end. He's going crazy.
God, that guy, I told you, remember, he was like Jefferson on Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Was it Jefferson, Warren.
Ashton Jeanty, Travis Hunter's going crazy. You see that catch he made the other night? Omari Hampton was starting for the Chargers and balling till he got hurt. Jackson Dart's now starting, and he went after. Like, Solana, there shouldn't be a project in the first round.
Barry Jackson, we talked about it on Monday. He released that article where he went through all of the draft picks Chris Greer traded up for and how many times he's failed. And look, to be fair, you could probably do that with a lot of teams, right? Yes. Like, look, they should have drafted this guy instead of this guy, and they should have drafted this guy instead of this guy. But Barry outlines like every single one and how they all failed. And he's like, look at the value you could have had here rather than trading up and costing yourself draft capital for a guy in Savai Naya that isn't producing for you. And look here, where instead of trading up, you could have taken this guy who's producing for this team instead of a guy you traded up for and hasn't produced, i.e. Liam Eikenberg. So there's a lot of examples with Chris Greer, and there's a lot of guys he drafts that either don't ever make an impact. Cam Smith, Noah Igbinoghene, Tanner Connor, Channing Tindall. And there's guys that were drafted right around that same area who at the very least are producing for their NFL teams. Like, bro, I mean, you know, we're doing it again, but yeah, I mean, this is a
crazy. You said during your NBA quiz that you didn't want to do this again.
Sorry. Crowder ramped me up. But yeah, I mean, Chris Greer misses a lot, bro. It misses a lot.
You amped me up talking about a project. Maybe Kenneth Grant will make a tackle week 16. That's not what you draft a guy high for.
That's not what I'm saying. I just think.
All right, we got to take a break.
We'll be better.
Be hard to be worse. 4 o'clock hour is coming up. We'll get headlines, and Rob Pizzola will join us from Canada with some winners, hopefully, for tonight's NFL and Panthers game and the Dolphins game on Sunday. So do not go anywhere.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I used to spray paint raccoons and see if they come back in my yard after I catch them.
It's a great move.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks.
These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.